League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for. Looking forward to having some fun a day before an FEF Friday. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, and we are ready to take you for the next 3 hours on an entertainment ride of a lifetime. I think.
On a magic carpet ride. On a...
You know who sings the magic carpet ride, Nick? That'd be Steppenwolf, one of the artists you stole from me yesterday.
Not Aladdin.
Oh, that would be racist. Although he does like rubbing a lamp.
That's right. I don't know what that meant, but I'll agree with it.
Who doesn't like rubbing a lamp?
Because the cake was good yesterday.
Okay. Well, the cake has bought me some leeway. All right.
The cake has bought you plenty of leeway. That is correct. It.
Yes. So how was the birthday?
Oh, it was good, man. Just went home and ate some big city wings and watched TV, played a new video game, got rid of an old video game.
Crapped on it, too, didn't you? You bought a new video game, you crapped on it on Twitter.
Dude, listen, and I realize it's an older game, but it was re-released, but Grand Theft Auto 5 sucks. So I was like, I don't want to play this. At least I got it on sale. And I thought, all right, I'm going to download Days Gone. And I know you're not a video game guy, but people out there listening, plenty of video gamers out there, I highly recommend Days Gone. I barely started it, but I really like it. So I give it the Barry stamp of approval.
Days Gone By gets two thumbs
no,
up.
No, not Days Gone By, just Days Gone. I know, that's what I kept thinking. And now when I play it, I hear the song Days Go By in my head.
Yeah.
So and I can't stop singing it. So
outstanding.
Yep. Otherwise, good night.
Good. Nick, good night, bad night?
Good night. Can't complain.
Went to the game?
I did go to the game.
That's right. You were at the game. We got to get to that because, man, I'll tell you what. It, almost like a precursor to what I was going to view watching the Astros game last night. I get home, and normally Lisa's got a few things for me to take care of. And so I'm sitting. I finally get those things done. I'm sitting on the couch. TV's on. Lisa's in the kitchen. And Taylor normally is doing her thing, running around, you know, seeing who wants to play and do all these things. Well, we've got a leather like lounge chair, right? It's got the big padded arms.
Uh-huh.
Well, she likes to lay on it on her belly because she looks towards the kitchen where Lisa is, and she can also still see me in the living room. So I'm like, she's laying on the arm of the chair, and all of a sudden, you know, you just hear that sound. I heard, and I looked, and I went, "Oh God!" And she slid off the chair and face planted. Face first on the hardwood floor.
Oh, man.
And I just went, and threw everything off my lap. And I ran over and I'm like, "Are you okay? Okay." And of course, she's screaming. And then I said, "Let me see your mouth." And she opens her mouth and here's blood. And I just went,
"Oh, no."
And now I got Lisa like screaming, freaking. I go, "Just hold on. Let me get some ice. Let me get a rag. Let me see what's going on." And before you know it, her lip was like Elmer Fudd meets, I mean, it was. I just said, "Look, we better be safe than sorry. She needs to go to urgent care." So Lisa took her to urgent care, and thank God no stitches needed.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but her teeth did definitely pierce her lip and everything. And I felt so bad because she literally had like a Super Bowl-like sized lip. And the doctors are like, "It'll be fine, but it's going to take about 2 days." And I'm like, "Yeah, for 2 days, we're going to be sitting there speaking to the tailor like..." But thank God we avoided that bullet. But then
I had that happen to a dog.
Did you?
I think I told the story on here.
I don't remember.
I had a dog. I used to live in an apartment.
Uh-huh.
And I had this dog. He was kind of psycho. And he would always poop in the house.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I'm going to leave him on the back porch of my apartment. Oh, I had a little sliding door.
Yeah.
And he was starved for attention because I was never home. So I put him on the back porch. I leave. I was going to be back in like an hour. I was just going to my sister's house. She lived in the same apartment complex. I walk downstairs. Me and my sister are walking to her apartment. I look down. Where did my dog come from? My dog jumped off the balcony.
Of the second floor?
And landed face first, and his teeth were laying flat in his mouth, like literally flat.
Mm.
Yeah. He never recovered from that. So his teeth were always flat.
Oh, I was going to
At least you'll get new teeth.
He recovered health-wise, but just didn't have the teeth the way
I was like, you're too stupid for me, and I gave him away like 3 months later. But I know you can't do that with Taylor, but at least her teeth will fall out, and she'll get new ones.
Well, but it wasn't, thankfully, no damage to the teeth at all.
Oh, that's really good.
Which we really lucked out. No stitches, no damage dental-wise, just her lip. But then even this morning, I was like, you're okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm okay. It just doesn't feel right. Yeah, it just doesn't feel right. And I was like, well, it's going to be. I always dread taking her to school after that.
Yeah.
Because then no matter what I tell them, I think they're behind the desk going, yeah, they beat their kid. Yeah.
She fell down the stairs. I promise she didn't backtalk me.
Yeah, so you're out celebrating your birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the game, and there's just those eerie moments where they don't say anything on the broadcast, and you just feel like something just happened. And that little girl getting hit last night, I couldn't help but put myself in the position of, if that was Taylor, if that was me, and then there was, you know, obviously for a lot of reasons, TV won't show any footage. They won't give you updates. Thank God Nick's there, because I'm like, I just jumped on Twitter and I see Nick's there. And I'm like, any updates? Because he was great about saying this is what happened. And I'm going, somebody's got to get something out there, because Twitter was just...
Well, we were watching it, so we didn't really go out. We just we got Big City Wings at the house. But when it happened, I didn't know it was a kid.
Right.
I knew that something had happened. You knew, because I was watching the Astros broadcast. I wasn't watching the ESPN broadcast. And the Astros broadcast really didn't show you nearly what the ESPN did, as I understand it. But we didn't really know, other than someone got hit with a foul ball. Someone. We didn't know it was a toddler until Twitter told Nora. Because we were both like, wow, that must have really been bad if he's that upset. Because I'm thinking at first it's just an adult got hit in the head and it probably hurt him, or, you know, an old person or something like that. And then, you know, you see how visibly upset he is. And he's like, boy, he really took that hard. That must have really been a nasty blow for whoever got. And then you find out it was a toddler and you're like, oh, my God.
And the guy who ended up getting the ball, I had tagged Nick on it. The guy who ends up getting the ball, she and her father, whoever it was, are in like row 8 or 9. The guy gets the ball, is in the first row. And he says it came directly down on a line from wherever it hit. So he knew something was up. Then he took the ball and was going to give it to the family. By the time he turned to go up the stairs, they were gone. But he got to them up on the top of the concourse in this emergency medical room. And he said there was no blood on the ball, no blood on the child. The child was conscious, because some of the reports on Twitter said she went limp and lifeless when the ball hit. And that's when I was really like, oh, my God. And then he was like, obviously, he said, and he's not a doctor, but he said, she's going to be okay. They're going to take her to the hospital for observation. And then Nick and everybody was able to get word from what was going on in the press box. And Nick, you were there. I mean, you saw it better than most.
I mean, what I should have done, now that I've never been in a situation where I was at a baseball game and that happened, what I probably should have done is just got my fat ass up and went to the section to kind of get an update. But I didn't want to give an inaccurate. You know, we always criticize bloggers and media members for just trying to report first instead of trying to report right. And the last thing I wanted to do was give you some bad information, because like you, Barry, I didn't know it was a toddler at first.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a child below the age of 10, and then I later learned it was a toddler, and then I later learned that the toddler went limp, then I later learned that it woke up. I wasn't going to give another update until I got one from the Astros, and then I think Blummer did a report.
He did.
And kind of gave an update. So thoughts and prayers to the kid. I'm dying to get y'all's opinions on the net. And whether or not it should be, I know I don't want it. It didn't have to be a big topic, but
no, it's two
opinions I want from y'all: the net, and if you're a parent, would you sit there if you have a toddler?
That was my thing, right? So once they said, "Oh, it was a toddler," I'm not going to lie to you. My very first thought was, why would you sit down either baseline with a toddler? Why would you do that? It's scary enough when Nora and I sit there. That ball, you don't understand. When the ball is coming off, they said it was coming. They estimated it because they didn't release it.
Right.
But they estimated that it came off the bat at 90 miles an hour. It was less than a second and a half that they would have to react. I mean, dude, you're literally talking about if you're sitting there, the following. The ball gets hit, 1,001. That's it. Like, literally 1,001, and the ball is on you. And if you are not focused and paying attention the entire time, because you know people are talking and they're on their phones. And my thought, man, and I'm not judging the parents necessarily, but it's just like, why would you sit a toddler down either of those eight rows deep? If you were under the concourse, you know, on the lower bowl. Or
behind the dish up, with the net.
Or up top where the ball is going to travel, it hit its apex, and then lose steam as it comes back down, and you have time to react. I just was like, I would never, ever would I take my kid down there and sit that close. I don't even like sitting down the third baseline or the first baseline.
Well, I know you guys bust chops on gloves, but that's the one spot where you should probably bring a glove. Because
if you have a kid with you?
Yeah, especially when you got a kid with you. Because quite simply, I've seen too many lasers hit down that third baseline, and they've talked about...
A lady died in Yankee Stadium getting hit.
There's been several. A child at a hockey game got hit, and then went to the full net all the way around. But yeah, someone at a Dodger game died last year.
Oh, was it a Dodger
game?
I thought it was a Yankee game.
Yeah, and then.
But I think last night two people got hit with foul balls in the same night. The toddler, and I think maybe it was a Yankees game.
Okay,
where a lady got hit.
Yankees,
I just remember
him. Refused to put the net up all the way around because they said their customers, their fan base, likes that open air feel of being so close to the field.
Would you take Taylor and sit down the third baseline?
I would take Taylor to a game for sure, but I don't know that I would sit in the first, like you said, the first eight or nine rows down that third baseline where, you know, the line drives hit. I'm fine in the middle of a section past the netting down a ways where I don't think someone's going to turn and hit a laser that hard, that high.
Still will.
But I also, you know, and I was talking to friends of mine that played ball as well that have kids, and they were like, you know, we all want to believe that we would be quick enough,
I'd stop it.
I'd get right in front of it and stop it. But you just, when's the, you know, as we were talking about, I said, when's the last time you caught a line drive?
Yeah, with a barehanded
and
or even
barehanded,
with a glove,
right?
Yeah.
If you didn't have a glove.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That was my very first thought, and I'm glad you mentioned it because that was one of the things I was just like, man. I feel awful for that kid and the parents, but my goodness, please, if you have a toddler, even much less a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old that's always squirming and you're like, hey, stop, you don't know what's going on, but a toddler?
And
plus, man, that's scary.
But I was told, and I'm not even sure this is, you know, fact or not, I can't speak for it, I know that the nets at Minute Maid Park only covers the dugout. But
all the way to the end of the dugout, yep.
Some fields extend past the dugout, but a part of the reason why teams like the Astros and others don't want to is because of the viewing pleasure of, you know, right. And the fact that they can grab a ball and all that other good stuff.
Right.
So I don't know if they're going to make that move. I just feel like that's what I was afraid to do. Come on this show and start criticizing the parents. I was afraid to do that because I know this is kind of like...
You let me do it.
Yeah. I love having great seats. I want to be as low as possible, but... You change your level of decision-making when you bring a child to the game. Because like you said, if you expect a 4-year-old girl, or in my case, a 3.5-year-old daughter, to stay focused on baseball for 3 hours, pitch by pitch, it's not going
to
happen.
I mean, even then, you think about the reaction time that you have, which is a second to a second and a half. You would barely get... Mm-hmm. You might not even catch it. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, you've got a 4-year-old that is supposed to be paying attention and duck and all those things. It's just not going to happen, man. It's just that scary.
You just have to put more thought into it because everybody can be an armchair quarterback. And after the fact, I heard people say, well, why did he just grab the kid and sprint up the stairs? Why don't you just start talking to the kid right away?
You don't have
time for that kind of stuff. You just know that there's no one that's going to give you help sitting in that section like they can up on the concourse and where there's accessibility. And so you can't fault the parents there, but you probably do have to put more thought into if you're bringing a young child to a game where you sit.
In defense of the parents, who really thinks that that's going to happen?
Right, of course.
I mean, no one thinks, well, you know what? We have a 4-year-old. She's going to get hit in the face with a baseball. so let's sit up top. No one thinks like that. So I don't blame them, but I think that it's unfortunate that it brings it to light. And so, yeah, you think, ooh, man, you really got to think twice before you would even allow kids to sit
that close.
You're right,
because people aren't thinking that this is going to happen, and they say it won't happen.
No.
But here's the thing. The last time I remember this happening, I was at the game, and it was Juan Gonzalez of the Rangers who hit a 100-mile-an-hour Billy Wagner pitch.
Oof.
And it hit a small kid, probably 6 years old, in the chest. And they said afterwards, when we were up on the concourse talking to the paramedics, if it would have hit him higher than the shoulders, he would have had some serious, serious damage.
Yeah.
So that was at a time when this wasn't as big a deal. But now when you say, if it happened twice last night, it's happening too frequently.
I think I'm 90% sure I read, and I don't know whose report it was, but somebody said that twice it happened last night. And then there was like, Nora immediately brought up the lady. There was a lady that went to a game, got hit in the chest with a ball, and it stopped her heart and killed her.
Because I know that the one at Dodger Stadium, like, they wanted to honor her, and her family was so, and she was a longtime season ticket holder, and they were like, they were just irate that it killed her.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and they should be.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can talk netting and thoughts on that in the next segment.
Calls too. Because
it's a big deal right now. I mean, obviously. And so, rightfully so.
If you guys want to get on the conversation, 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can call that number. You can also reach us via Twitter at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. And we'll continue to discuss this topic and go forward with it for a little bit. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy, Josh Pesikoff and his staff. I'll tell you what, they'll convince you because they convinced me. I made the switch about 2 years ago, and I've saved thousands on my energy bills year to year from my previous company to switching over to Infuse Energy. And it's simple. They have great customer service because they take the time and they care to talk to you. It's not an automated system when you call that just frustrates you and screaming prompts into the phone. They're going to ask you questions, and if they get the right answers, they're going to get the best rates because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your home? And they'll go from there until they pinpoint the best rate and the best deal they can possibly give you. And they're always going to be honest. In those rare occasions, there's another company out there that can beat their rates and prices. They're going to let you know because they want you to know that you can trust them. Whether you go with them now or somewhere down the road, you'll go to them because you realize they're not going to pull the wool over your eyes. They're going to be honest. And that means so much when you're doing business with a company. Check them out at InfuseEnergy.com if you want to do the research. And if you want to talk to them, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No, hey, we do it all for you here. We do it all. On The Usual Suspects.
I'll get that door for you, Nick.
That was like the most steps Barry walked all day from there to the door.
Excuse me? 1,048 steps.
Oh, I forgot. You got that watch.
Chub Rock.
I'm going to be going cubicle to cubicle taking the trash out next break.
I'll be like Lance, just walking around out there on my phone.
God, Lance Zierlein Mallwalker. He really is.
He gets his steps in, though.
Yeah, he gets his little walking shoes on and his little short shorts, and he just starts
logging. Not have short shorts.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe not by plan, but by fit. He gets his shorts on and he gets his walk on several times a day.
Short shorts.
Well, like I said, it might be not planned.
Lance out there walking in Daisy Dukes and some Birkenstocks.
No, he's got for like all, a Coachella every time hole. He does an NFL deal, they give him shoes.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, he's always coming up with good kicks. But lucky. The shorts.
What was that Nair commercial? Always talking about short shorts.
We wear short shorts. Yeah.
You know what's sad is I knew the whole song at one point.
Yeah, if you see a middle-aged man with short shorts and really nice Adidas at the Galleria Mall, it's Lance.
That's Lance, huh?
Especially if he's got one ear stuck to the phone.
Nice.
Yeah. He's been doing it around our office. He does, like, short laps.
Yeah, he does. It's weird. And then you see him in the hall and he just
And he literally feels like if you go the wide route, like against all the windows of all the offices, that you're gaining more than if you just walk in the middle of the hallway. I'm like, okay. Well, you know, the stairs are right there. If you just want to go up to the top and back a few times, that's a good workout.
It would be easier.
Yeah.
All right. So where are you on the net thing?
You know, I understand the fans that want that close experience when you get down the lines a little bit. But again, it also really depends on the layout of the field. When you look at Minute Maid is a danger zone, particularly down the third baseline, because the diamond is turned in such a way, and because, you know, like in Oakland, there's so much space between the foul lines and the first row of seats, because it's a football stadium by trade, that you don't have to worry about it. But in a place like Minute Maid, close quarters, seats are right up on you, and man, the seats are close to the foul lines. I think you got to go at the very least three quarters of the way down. And you know, I feel for the people that get those season tickets right on the rail down the line because they want to lean over the rail and get the foul balls that way.
But they shouldn't be doing that. But
it's a tough call to make. But I think for fan safety alone, you got to go three quarters of the way down.
I tend to put it on the parents, man. From some people, there's a good percentage of people that feel like the net does obstruct their, it's not just the foul ball situation, the fact that they can't get foul balls. It's the fact that they can't see the game as well. Some people say no. Just be a little more cautious, especially if you're with a toddler. Like, I feel like a kid who's, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old.
So are you going to maybe put age restrictions on the first 10 rows or 12 rows?
I say you keep it as is and try to educate parents on where to sit. I think if you're the Astros, say, look, this is our park. We absolutely love you. This is where I would recommend you to sit in the event you have a toddler. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to expand the nets and everybody's going to be affected with that net. Like, everybody's going to have an obstructed view.
Guess what? Everybody that pays the most expensive price in the ballpark is obstructed by a net already. If it was that big of a deal, they would charge less to sit behind home plate because you got a quote stupid net in the way. So if people that are paying, you know, $500 to sit directly behind home plate can watch the whole game through a net, then why can't the people down the foul lines do the same thing?
Fair point. Look, I'm not the right guy to ask. Look, I am a
fan.
That
wasn't directed at you. I'm just saying in general. I'm directing that at the people that say no nets.
Because here's the thing. Palillo had a great point on his show, much to Barry's point. If you could sit anywhere in the whole stadium, where would you sit?
Behind
home plate.
And guess what?
Net is there. And here's the other thing. I was thinking about this. As long as it's just a straight up net that protects you from the line drive, you can still go over the top for the looping foul ball so that people still get the foul ball.
It's hit the press room almost. Like, it literally one time hit like the front row of the press room once. It went over the net and hit the press room. So,
And you know, the other thing too is if you were worried more about line drives and trajectory and everything, you don't have to necessarily have the net as high as it is behind home plate. It could be a step lower, and you could maybe step it down as the further you get down the line, if that's a thing, if you wanted to do that. But if you've ever sat behind home plate, you notice the net for about an inning. And then about the second inning, you're eating popcorn and you're talking and you're catching the game and you're enjoying the experience, and you totally forget about the net. It's like subtitles when you watch a movie. When you first sit down to watch a movie with subtitles, you notice the subtitles. Or if you watch a movie with the framing, and you'll have that black bar at the top and the bottom. When you first sit down to watch a movie like that, you notice it. Halfway through the movie, you stop noticing subtitles, you stop noticing those black bars, and I promise you, halfway through the baseball game, you stop noticing the net. And if it's going to save a life, if it's going to save a toddler from brain damage or anything
or
like
worse.
That, I'm all for it.
Yeah, we'll get some calls in here, too, because people want to chime in. Brandon, we'll get in here real quick. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What up,
man? Happy belated birthday, Barry.
Hey, man. I appreciate that. Thank you.
My condolences, you know, to the little girl and their family. You know, that's absolutely terrible, but you know, from the reports of it, you know, it sounds like she gained a really good friend of the family and a major league pro at it. So, you know, at least some good came out of it, but the stuff that she had to go through that. Real quick, Joel, I wanted to tell you a real quick story. I heard you talk about your little girl and how she fell last night, and yep. You really hate taking her to school after something like that happens. I don't know if you're kidding or not, but something like that actually happened to us. When my little girl, she was chasing the dog around the house, she fell, and she got caught on the, she was wearing socks, and she got caught on the hardwood floor. Well, she slipped and caught the edge of the coffee table right underneath the cheek. The only saving grace is that the edge of the coffee tables were rounded. Oh, so she had this really, really nasty shiner.
Yep.
So the next day, she goes to school, and I don't know what she said to them, but we get a call, like, the day after from CPS.
Oh.
And CPS is like, we'd like to talk to you about what happened to your little girl that happened at home. And I'm like, well, yeah, sure. That's fine. You know, we'll all be here around 6:30. She's like, well, we've already talked to your daughter. We just need to confirm your story.
And, wow.
Yeah, so that actually happens. So, you know, just a heads up, man. You might want to keep him out of school.
Yeah, no,
Thanks
for the call, Brandon.
Appreciate the call. That's insane.
You guys remember this, but we had one previous to this where she had a shiner.
Mm-hmm.
And the school, it didn't
That's go. That's the one where you punched her.
No. They didn't take it to CPS level, but the school did ask some questions after that. And look, I'm all for the school asking questions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for as much as you can say we didn't do it, but you don't know if everybody else is on the same page.
Right.
So, yeah, but, man, to go to CPS, my buddy of mine had the same thing happen where CPS got called right away.
Dude,
that's scary.
That's scary, man, because kids do fall and kids hurt themselves. And you got a kid that shows up to school because they're clumsy. Because you know what? Kids are clumsy,
too. Yes, they are. My daughter has a problem not looking where she's going, and she doesn't even have a phone yet.
And you got a kid that, you know, gets a black eye once or twice and broken arm here or there because they're clumsy and fall off their bike. Next thing you know, they show up 4, 5, 6 times with bumps and bruises and broken bones. Man.
Yeah, that's no joke right there.
Just put that on the long list of reasons I don't want to have a kid.
I might as well have another.
I ain't going to jail for no kid. Kiss my ass. You can go find a new daddy.
I might as well have another. All right. thank you. I'll have another. Well, we got a half hour into the show. We still got lots to go. And, of course, your guys' participation is always welcome. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city on this Thursday. Last day of this week with Barry in studio as he is off to what?
Arkansas. El Dorado, Arkansas.
Oh, well.
Because, you know, I'm big time.
Not Little Rock. No. Not one of the bigger cities.
I'm big time. I'm doing a show in El Dorado. Pays good, though.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
I don't care about the name of the city as long as the gig pays good.
That's important.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you, which is nice. So then, Nick, since the program director is out of accessibility, he said he's turned off his phone, no social media. Then he was chiming in on a conversation that I was having with Matt Jackson on Twitter this morning. I said, I thought you were done. He's like, well, I'll go till the signal goes. I was like, okay. So then...
Cross your fingers.
Yeah.
Signal goes soon.
And then he proceeded to tell me that whoever's house sitting said, so what happened? I thought she basically said the same thing and said, what happens if I can't reach you? Then I can't reach you. And he goes, yeah, pretty much. And I was like, and at that point, she's waiting for that to happen. Then she's going to lay all over your sofa naked with a bag of Ruffles sour cream and onion chips while she plans the first house party. And his response was classy. He goes, well, I guess I'll have plenty of good video to watch when I get back.
Oh,
I
go, yeah, nice.
Yeah, you will. So, yeah. So, I take it, Nick, it's me and you tomorrow. Do we have a producer?
It looks like it's going to be Tyler. AJ kind of left without filling that void. So, it looks like it's going to be Tyler.
That was very responsible of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not sure, but Tyler's working on that right now.
Okay.
Assistant
PD. So the bottom line is on air will be you and I.
Correct.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Oh. All right. So with that being said, we were discussing the foul ball nets.
No one else was available.
Just kidding. I see Cody's filling in for AJ today on the Blitz.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm filling in Monday for AJ.
I saw that. I heard Fred say that on the way home yesterday.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
AJ wanted
the whole lineup.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So that should be
interesting.
Speaking of interesting, and by the way, with this net conversation and I guess controversy, in Japan, every stadium in Japan, it goes completely around.
How do they manage?
Yeah. The one thing that I thought was interesting, because Chris Bryant said in the interview, the national interview last night on ESPN with Jeff Passan, was the fact that he felt like, look,
whatever it takes.
It has to be done. It just has to be done. He goes, I know fans want to be as close as possible, and I get all that. The one thing that I'm a little perplexed about is, with technology the way it is today, is there not a way to make a see-through net or a less intrusive net from a viewing perspective?
Every net is a see-through net.
No.
That's why it's a net.
No, but you can't see-through. I'm talking about net, the actual roping or wiring or whatever it is, making that material
clear?
More clear.
Now, that might be possible.
That's my question.
I make it out of fishing twine.
But stronger, obviously.
Yeah, but, I mean, fishing line's pretty strong. But I get what you're saying. You're saying something like that.
Mm-hmm. So that you don't have as many people bitching about their sight lines being
Again, if you've invaded. Ever sat behind home plate, you get used to it.
And you love it.
I don't really think that changing. I mean, if they could come up with some sort of clear netting, but, yeah.
Okay. Well, Alex wants to get in here. He's been waiting patiently. We appreciate it. He wants to talk about foul ball netting. Alex, what's up?
Hey guys, happy belated birthday to Barry.
Hey, thank you.
So quick deal, because last Friday I was at the game, at the Boston game, and I'm not against the netting idea. You know, again, safety is paramount, whether it's for a young child or if it's an adult or even an elderly adult that's at a game. But I mean, there is some accountability that I do want to call out on parents, because at the game, right up front, I saw a couple with a newborn, and I'm like,
wow,
are you really going to be there to catch the ball for, I mean, I wouldn't ever, me personally, I would not do that to my own child, but, I mean, you got to draw a line from, from that perspective.
You do. And appreciate the call, Alex. I mean, here's the other thing. You see all the things that make SportsCenter, the dad who's one-arming a kid that's not able to walk yet, and then still trying to catch a foul ball. As a responsible adult parent, you've got to put both arms around that baby and go, you know what? I'm going to forego the opportunity to catch a foul ball here to make sure that everybody stays safe and sound in my family, and make a judgment call for a kid that is not old enough to make judgments.
The newborn, I really like. If I'm not on board with a toddler, having a newborn in
that's
the area.
Ridiculous, man.
Yeah, now you might see a dad in home run territory catching it, or upper level, and they're holding their kid and catching the foul ball, and even then you're like, oof.
That's what I'm saying. Even then, if the dad's got the kid in one arm and he's trying to do it with the other arm.
If you miss, it's bad. If you don't, then you're a hero and go viral. But I'm with Alex, man. There has to be some accountability and just some rational decision making on the part of a parent.
Well, let me put it this way. The same way, if you take that same toddler or younger to a football game or a basketball game, and you take the time to get them the airport headphones so that the noise reduction, so that it doesn't hurt their eardrums, mm-hmm. take the same amount of responsibility and accountability for where you sit at a baseball game so that the kid isn't in danger.
Yeah.
That's as simple as I can put it.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about these things. I mean, that's why I said it. I cringe at seeing the dad who thought he was a hero because he caught a baseball in his beer cup while his 18-month-old is dangling in his other arm, get with their neck all over the place. I'm like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
So.
It's pretty,
I just never would think about taking a kid that young.
If you do it, if you pull it off, you're cool. If you don't, you're going to, man, can you imagine you go to catch the ball and it ricochets off your hand and hits your baby in the head?
Yeah, not only are you an a-hole, but the damage done could be significant.
Yeah. A couple texts. I'm still trying to catch up on the text line, but somebody said, what up, usual suspects? Barry, I just finished reading, guys. I'm gonna need it. Are y'all sitting down?
You know we are.
Oops. Barry, I just finished reading that Kenny Rogers is very ill and might pass away sooner than later. I thought you might want to know.
Yeah, you got to know when to fold them.
Oh, hey.
Just saying, man.
Sir, I will not allow you to make fun of Kenny Rogers, man, while he is on his deathbed.
Promise me, son.
No.
Not to do the things that I've done.
Don't. God.
I'm just saying.
The man with the songs full of great advice is on his deathbed, and all you could do is make jokes.
No, I'm not making jokes at all. I'm thinking about, you know,
don't.
Thoughts and prayers for Kenny.
You're literally trying to do another
lyric.
No,
I'm not.
I hate you.
I'm just
making fun of an icon.
Islands in the stream.
Oh, see, you just wedged that in there.
That is what we are.
Shoehorn that.
Nothing in between.
God, rest in peace, Kenny Rogers.
I know he's not dead yet. Well, that's worse. You're already writing him off. Maybe he makes this miraculous Alex Trebek comeback.
I'm a bit of a gambler.
We got to go to break. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number one, 3-hour show rolling along. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, Joel, Thursday in the big city. Talking about this situation last night, which became much far greater than the game itself last night.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, I do want to tip the cap and give kudos to Albert Almora Jr. Because he hit the ball, and it's no fault of his. Obviously, it's a freak accident, and he's just up there playing baseball. But the way it emotionally affected him, and the fact that he tried to go back out in the field, made contact with the security lady that was down in that section, and she was trying to comfort him and explain to him, you know, what had happened. He left the game after that, and if you saw his interview after the game, which went about 5 minutes, it was emotional, and he made the plea to the family that at some point he wants to reach out to them, and he said they will have a friend for life until he's no longer on this planet, and he has two sons of his own, and I just commend him for just the way he took it all personally and his emotions that came out on the field.
So, it was heartbreaking.
Yes, it really was.
Not just for the kid to see what had happened to the kid, but to see how it affected him, because I couldn't imagine. I mean, I would feel absolutely awful, just like he did. Like you, nobody would want to be out there and do that. And to know that you're the one that hit it, and God forbid if something is wrong with her or something were to happen to her, significantly, you know, like long term, I just can't imagine. And I felt like a lot of people on Twitter were really classy about it, especially Astros fans were like, hey, you know, I hope that Almora knows that we stand behind him and support him and the family, and you know, we feel for him and our heart breaks for him as well as her. And there was one guy that I saw that was like, hey, Minute Maid is a piece of crap, and if you sit on the foul ball and you get hit, you probably deserved it. And that was his response. If you get hit by a foul ball, you deserved it. And then people went ballistic on this dude and was like, dude, it was a kid. It was a toddler. You are a horrible person.
Good.
And just started like just murdering this dude on Twitter. And he goes, hey, I just want to point out that when I sent that tweet, I didn't know it was a kid, and I deserve all this.
Okay, good.
At least he owned it.
Yeah.
But he was like, I deserve all of this hate. I had no idea it was a toddler. I feel awful for tweeting this. Also, props to that man for not deleting it. That would have been the first thing I did. Yeah. Oh, is it toddler? Delete. I don't know what you're talking about. You're going to have to send me a screenshot, and then that could be Photoshopped. I'm not owning that. But he owned it. He was like, yep, I deserve all this hate. I'm a horrible person. I should be in hell. I should rot in hell. And I hope and pray that that toddler's okay. Like, it was just like...
Yeah, and we don't have the final medical result, but there were fans, too, that were calling in and commenting, hey, at least he's got... They got a friend for life and a major league player and a whole team behind him, and that's going to be cool, the stuff they're going to get. The price you pay for that is a child that had no say in the matter could have taken a very, very destructive injury.
Somebody texted and said, because Aaron's Fetus said, just restrict the age, restrict those seats for certain people under a certain age. And some people said, if you're going to take a kid down there, maybe they have to wear a helmet.
Not a bad idea either.
You know, get a little Astros buddy helmet or something that they got, especially toddlers, especially kids under the age of 12 or something like that. Yeah, you got to put this helmet on if you're going to watch the game because we don't know. We can't, you know. And then someone said this. Look, there was 25,000 people there. It's a 1 in 25,000 chance. We take greater risks and worse odds every day of our life. Really? Well, tell that to the parents.
Right.
See, that's why I was afraid of looking at Twitter, man.
To the parents.
That's why I was afraid of looking at Twitter, because I knew there was going to be comments like that. I tried to stick to a couple columns that I knew I could avoid that crap on Twitter. Yeah. But
it's all fun and games till it's someone that you love.
Yeah.
Right.
Then it's a different story.
Now, in regards to the net, people are saying a couple things. One, that some people are opposed to the net, especially players, because they can't go into the stands and get foul balls. That.
That's a fair point.
Like, very fair. Yep.
Other people are saying that, and these are like a conglomerate of all the texts that are coming in, but somebody said, look, you're right, behind home plate, the netting is fine. But as you start to move down the line at an angle and your seat is at an angle, then once the net is at an angle, it's not as clear. And that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It really does. And then somebody gave an example. If you've ever been at an angle looking through a chain link fence, when you're straight on, yeah, it's fine. But once you start to move to the side and look through it, obviously, at a structure view, great point. And someone said plexiglass. Now, that might have to be the solution if the net angle is an issue. If you're at an angle and it starts to obstruct the view, you may have to put up not as high as the net is right now. Right. But if you had a 6-foot, 8-foot plexiglass all the way around the bottom like a hockey rink, you may have to do that if that's the solution.
And then you got the hockey situation. You got fans pounding on the glass and smudging and all that.
Smudging it,
you know, because Barry, there's going to be season ticket holders in like the third row going, some guy brought his kids and smeared crap all over the window and I couldn't see.
Well,
but I'm with you.
Well, your kid's alive.
The other thing, exactly, so because here's the thing. If Major League Baseball is considering pitchers having to wear protective helmet hats.
Yeah. Third base and first base coaches
already the coaching have to. But I saw on MLB Network the other night, Dan Plesac, Harold Reynolds, they were talking about this. And Plesac, as an ex-pitcher, was like, I'm not wearing that hat. He's like, that would affect the way I throw. And the guys were like, come on, man. It's not like you're wearing a football helmet when you're pitching. It's just a little bit more protective.
Yeah.
And again, it's all fun and games. And you say, I'm not wearing that until you're the guy that takes the line drive off the dome piece.
Right.
And you realize, hey, man, this could do some serious damage.
Pretty scary. I mean.
Did you see, we talked about when McHugh did the Matrix earlier in the year when the line drive came back. You see Jeffries of the Brewers the other night? Line drive came between. We were talking about the Nolan when he used to brush guys back calling it the bow tie. Mm-hmm. Line drive between his chin and his sternum, right at his neck. And he got the glove up as his spine was contorting backwards. But it came so quickly, he had to react so fast that like his ankle and knee planted and then everything rolled over on it as he went backwards and his neck snapped back. And you're like, first of all, I don't know how he avoided contact with that ball. And secondly, thankfully, as he got up and they took him back to the clubhouse, they took him out of the game immediately, but they realized nothing severe, maybe just like a pulled muscle or, he maybe, tweak something a little bit.
Yeah.
But I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, that was, he avoided one hell of a serious injury as well. So, I mean.
Somebody texted, hey, Gary.
Not surprising.
I mean, that was like, instant.
I caught it quick.
Actually, you're like, Gary, Barry.
I did. I caught it.
Pew, hey, Gary.
These guys don't waste time.
No. Are you kidding me?
Well, they wouldn't be suspect. How about that?
You are having a good speech day.
I'm on fire. Wow.
Somebody texted us that if Kenny Rogers dies, who's going to take us to the danger zone? First of all, listen.
That's Kenny Loggins.
Second of all, they spelled Kenny Rogers wrong.
Put a D in it?
Yes. Jeez.
That's like Alzheimer's with a T.
How dare you disrespect Kenny Rogers like that? It's not Kenny Loggins. It's not the danger zone.
Danger zone for Kenny Rogers?
That's funny.
Come on. Next you're going to tell me Kenny Rogers saying Footloose?
Yeah, right?
What are you doing to me?
Barry wins Throwback Thursday for mentioning the best song in the world, Days Go By. Also, Nick, keep ripping and farting, player.
I'm here, too. Let's have a good day.
Hey, Joel, I share your pain. To some degree, we have a four-month-old toy poodle that slipped off the couch and broke his front leg. 5,500 later and 6 miserable weeks of constant care is killing me and my wife.
A toy poodle, huh?
Yeah. You're comparing your dog to Joel's daughter? Look, if your dog shows up to doggy daycare with broken legs twice in 6 months, no one's calling CPS on you for your dog. Why would you compare your dog to Joel's daughter?
I'm just going to let you handle that one.
How? When? What in your mind as a person when someone goes, man, my daughter fell and hurt her. Hey, my dog. What? It's not even. No. Between Joel's horrible Boston accent, Barry's jokes, and Nick's body fat percentage, the usual suspects never disappoint.
When did I do the horrible Boston accent?
I don't know. I think they might have been talking about my accent earlier. They just thought maybe you were doing it. I don't know.
Which one did you do
that
earlier?
That was L.U. Dillon.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes sense. He said, never mind. Say no more.
And then he said, thanks, Kenny Rogers. So, I don't know what that means. Hey, Barry, I'm getting a sprinkler system installed. Thanks for the great lawn advice. Hashtag lawn segment. Okay. Now we're caught up.
Oh, okay. Well, now that we're caught up, why don't you get upside?
Yeah, why don't you get upside and get cash back, Joel? Why don't you use my promo code Barry? Huh? Are you on that get upside yet, Joel? If not, you should be.
I tried it yesterday, but Gary didn't work.
It's Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's the promo code to get the cash back. Don't listen to Joe. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Listen to Nick. He's using GetUpside. I'm using GetUpside. AJ does. The wife does. A lot of people here at the station are using it. A lot of listeners are using it as well. I'm getting text every day. I'm getting messages every day of folks telling me how happy they are. I read it yesterday. Someone thanked us for introducing GetUpside to them that they got, I want to say they got like $5 back on their first fill-up. Through the GetUpside app. How cool is that? Don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the dinner table or the lunch table. GetUpside. And it's going to get you cash back on the things that you're buying every day already. If someone were to come up to you every time you pump gas and be like, hey, here's a couple bucks back, would you say no? Absolutely, you would take that money. So download GetUpside. Completely free to put on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings. You might get $5 back like one of the listeners did yesterday. That said that they did. And you can get up to 35% cash back at food places all over the city of Houston. Over 100 restaurants are in the GetUpside app right now. Over 500 gas stations are in the GetUpside app. It's absolutely amazing. Don't leave money at the table. Don't leave money at the pump. This is free money, people. It costs you nothing. There's no strings attached, no catches. It's called GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bombed a cigarette.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.